Chapter 5. The Great Train Rescue. The Russian gentleman was soon well enough to sit in the garden. Mother wrote letters to important people to ask for help in finding the Russian gentleman's wife and family. The children wanted to do something nice for him. Phyllis remembered that the porter, Perks, had promised her some strawberries from his garden. She was sure they would be ripe by now, so the children set off together to see Perks. Mother had already gone to see the station master and tell the story of the Russian prisoner, but the children hadn't been to the railway in several days. They went now, but Perks was strangely unfriendly. The children were shocked by his unpleasant attitude. "I thought you'd forgotten about me," he said unkindly. "Oh dear," said Bobby with a sigh. "Are you angry at us?"
"No, you can keep your secrets," he said.
The children were confused because they couldn't think of any secrets they were keeping.
"Look here," said Peter suddenly. "We were busy helping Mother take care of the Russian gentleman."
"I don't know anything about any Russian."
"The Russian that Mother told you about," replied Peter.
"Well, she talked to the station master, but not me," said Perks sharply.
"We thought Mother had told you," said Phyllis, "or we would have come to tell you ourselves. We're so sorry."
Perks accepted their apologies. After they had told him all about the Russian, Perks went back to being his usual friendly self and took them to get some strawberries from his garden. The Russian gentleman was so delighted with the strawberries that the three children tried to think of another surprise for him. They decided to pick wild cherries from the trees that grew on the hill by the mouth of the tunnel. The trees were some way from Three Chimneys, so Mother let them take their lunch with them in a basket. When they got to the top of the hill, they leaned over the fence and looked down at the railway lines. Near the tunnel was a flight of steep, narrow steps leading down to the line. Peter thought it would be easier to reach the cherries from the steps, so they went along the fence toward the gate at the top of the steps. They were almost at the gate when they heard a noise, a sort of cracking sound. As they listened, it stopped, and then it began again. And this time it did not stop, but it grew louder and louder.
"Look!" cried Peter suddenly. "The tree over there!"
The tree he pointed at was moving as though it were a live creature walking down the side of the hill.
"It's moving," cried Bobby, "and so are the others. How can it be possible?"
All the trees for about 20 yards of the opposite bank seemed to be slowly walking down toward the railway line. The three children watched in amazement. The trees moved on and on, then rocks and trees and grass and bushes slipped right away from the hill and fell on the railway line with a loud crash. A cloud of dust rose up from the great pile of earth, trees, and rocks now sitting on the railway line.
"The 11:29 down hasn't gone through yet," said Peter.
"We must let them know at the station, or there'll be a serious accident."
Bobby began running toward the station, but Peter called her back. His face looked whiter than it had ever been before.
"There's no time," he said. "We have to get down on the line and stop the train ourselves."
"But how?" asked Phyllis.
"If we had something red," said Peter, "we could wave it."
"Why do we need something red?"
"Because they are used to seeing us wave. We need something to make them pay attention. But it's no use because we don't have anything."
"But we do have something red," said Phyllis.
"Oh, yes," Bobby cried. "Our petticoats."
They took off their petticoats and ran along the railway until they reached the corner that hid the pile from the straight line of railway. Then Bobby and Peter tore the petticoats into 6 pieces.
"There," said Peter. "Now we've got 6 red flags. He checked the time again. "And we've got 7 minutes.
Each child took 2 pieces to wave. They waited for what seemed like hours and hours before they heard the sound of a train.
"Stand firm," said Peter, and wave like mad. When it gets to that big bush, step back, but go on waving. Don't stand on the line, Bobby.
The train came rattling along very fast. The three children anxiously continued waving. Thankfully, the engine slowed and stopped, and they saw the driver and fireman get off the engine. Peter and Phyllis ran to tell them about the pile just around the corner. The engine driver told the children to get on the train while he checked the situation. Then, having seen it for himself, he took the children back to the station. When they reached the station, the three were greeted as heroes. And as they left to go home, the station master, the porter, the guards, the driver and fireman, and all the passengers sent up an enthusiastic cheer. All three children thought about how lucky it was that they had had something red with them that afternoon. But only Bobby felt sad that they hadn't managed to pick any cherries.